Jesus once asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" Your personal answer to that question will affect you throughout eternity. Let's look at the biblical evidence for the correct answer. Here's Brother Dan Corner of Evangelical Outreach to present the truth from Scripture.
Today we're going to find out what the Bible says about the real Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that the Bible says died on the cross for our sins and resurrected. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And believe it or not, there were some people at that time period who actually thought that he was John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, thus implying that apparently some people back then fallaciously believed in reincarnation. And then Jesus asked them the question in Matthew 16 verse 15, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So Jesus went ahead and said that that statement, that understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, was not revealed to Peter by man, but instead by the Father in heaven. He also said that this is what the church is going to be built upon. That is the revelation, the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, it's built also on Jesus himself. So this is what we are dealing with today. We're dealing with, in our era, many people, who either don't confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, or they do confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, but have applied an interpretation to those terms outside of the meaning of the Bible. This is what we need to clear up. What does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? That is exactly the same as saying that Jesus is the Messiah, or he's the deliverer. Now, this is what they were thinking back in first century Christianity. The people were thinking that a deliverer was going to come to the Jewish nation. And they were thinking of a physical deliverer who would be king over them. They were not thinking spiritually. They were thinking in the natural. Just like Moses was a natural deliverer, they were thinking that this deliverer, this Messiah, would be that type of deliverer, not knowing that he, Jesus, is a much, much greater and important deliverer than that type of deliverer. In John chapter 6, 14 and 15, we read this. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, that is the multiplying of the loaves and the fish, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now that's important. You could see that they were thinking about the here and the now and making Jesus king in the natural. Jesus did not want that to occur, so he withdrew. Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." So Jesus is the king of the Jews. No question. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. When he stood before the governor, that's Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus in Matthew 27 verse 11, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Very clearly, Jesus admitted to being the king of the Jews, but his kingdom is not of this world. This is a stumbling block for a lot of people because that title, king of the Jews, actually refers to YHWH, that is Almighty God or Yahweh of the Old Testament. We know that, especially two places in Isaiah, it says that. Isaiah 33:22 and Isaiah 43:15. Respectively, they read, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. It is he who will save us." And the other verse says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your king." For Jesus to come along and make the accurate claim, the correct claim, that he himself is the king of the Jews, definitely would cause some problems in the minds of some people who did not understand and know who Jesus of Nazareth was and is. They thought on various occasions that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. And of course, he was not. He never sinned. He did everything perfect, everything right. Remember that even though people know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, they can still be lethally deceived by false religious beliefs, misunderstanding what that means. And that is very, very common. That's common among the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Catholics, and the list goes on and on and on. And just like we would read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we find out what love is. We also learn from the same chapter what love is not. To find out what love is not will help us better understand what true Christian love is. Similarly, to better know who Jesus of Nazareth is, that is, Jesus being the Son of the living God, the Christ, we also need to know who he isn't. Now, what I would like to do is to give you examples of what people wrongly believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. In our day, there are wrong views. There are people believing in another Jesus. That was a concern in first century Christianity as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul had that concern for the Corinthians, that they were putting up with teachers, people that were proclaiming another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. And in our day, the same thing occurs. There are people with a wrong view about Jesus and, of course, another gospel, etc. But here are some of the wrong views or the wrong Jesus that people are teaching and they're believing in that will hurt and stumble them from coming to biblical salvation and finding eternal life. Here's the wrong views: that Jesus was only a good teacher, a rabbi, prophet, a mere prophet of God, a holy man, a miracle performer, an enlightened man. Some even say that Jesus, believe it or not, was a polygamist and the spirit brother of Lucifer, or that he's Michael the Archangel and perhaps even a perfect man. One false religion actually teaches that Jesus failed because he didn't get married and produce a perfect family, and that's the Unification Church, better known as the Moonies. So you could see these wrong and conflicting views to what the Bible actually teaches. That is, if you know the message of the New Testament. And by the end of this message today, you will know it better than perhaps you did at the beginning of this message. The Bible very clearly states the real Jesus of the Bible is the only Savior. He's the only way to the Father, the only mediator between God and man, and has the only name in which salvation is found. The real Jesus of Nazareth that you understand has to be worthy of your faith, your trust, and your commitment to the saving of your soul, and he alone can do that. If that's not the Jesus of Nazareth you believe in, then something, somewhere, somehow has derailed you from a proper understanding of what it means that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are told in the Bible repeatedly to have salvation and eternal life. We believe on Jesus. Now, what does that mean? To believe on Jesus means that we are not going to believe on Jesus and someone else with him, or some organization, some lodge membership with the Lord Jesus. We are to believe on Jesus for salvation, and that means you can't have salvation without belonging to any denomination. It has nothing to do with Mary, the mother of Jesus. It has nothing to do with Saturday Sabbath keeping, the golden rule, or water baptism, or going to church. You can get saved anywhere if you sincerely and humbly from your heart go to Jesus directly, sincerely, with an attitude of turning from your sins to commit to him, to follow him unashamedly in this dark hour. Now, all through the New Testament, there are various names and titles for the Lord Jesus. In fact, there is well over 100 titles and names for Jesus, showing his identity and importance in many different areas. And those names reveal who he is and what his importance is, and that he is the all-sufficient Savior and much more. And no other Savior is needed besides Jesus. It's him alone who can save us. And folks, just having this knowledge is not enough to save you. You have to have a faith in him that will submit your will to him. Jesus said, "My mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and put it into practice. Faith without works is dead." If you're not willing to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him in this dark and sinful world, you do not have a belief in Jesus, and a faith in Jesus that will save you from hell, even though you say you believe that he's the Son of God and the Christ. In a very concise manner, if you would read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, you would be able to get a good, accurate glimpse of eternity past and who the real Jesus is. Jesus existed as God by nature, that is, deity, before he came to earth in the incarnation. He is not part of creation, such as an angel. Jesus created everything. In Colossians 1:16, the Bible says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by and for him." So everything was created for Jesus, and he created everything. So he's not part of his own creation. The Bible tells us something very significant about all of this, and this is found in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being of the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus was God, became man, died on the cross, a very humbling thing to do. That's the kind of attitude the Apostle Paul said the Philippians should have. They should be in humility as Jesus was, taking the very nature of a servant, serving one another, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. Another very important fact about salvation is that Jesus has to be your own personal Lord and Savior. While it's true he died for your sins, it has to be made personal. So is he your personal Lord, your King, your Savior? Galatians 3 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That's important because Jesus is called the Son of God. In fact, he's called the only begotten Son of God in John 3:16. And people even stumble over that, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and other ones who misunderstand the deity of Christ. Only begotten does not mean that he's created. Jesus was not created. Jesus is the one and only unique Son of the Father. This is very clearly shown in Hebrews 11:17. Isaac is called the same exact Greek term, monogenes, that is translated only begotten as Jesus being the only begotten Son of God. Isaac is the monogenes of Abraham. He was not Abraham's first son, nor was he Abraham's only son, but he was Abraham's unique, one-of-a-kind, special son, the son of promise. And that is exactly what Jesus is. That is, he's a unique, one-of-a-kind son. And Islam, by the way, makes the same exact errors that the Jehovah's Witnesses do when they attack the deity of Christ. They viciously and errantly attack the deity of Christ. They use the same exact arguments. There's no difference. If you could refute the Jehovah's Witnesses in that area, you can refute any Muslim dealing with the deity of Christ. And it's very important for us to remember this. Jesus is not the person of the Father, but he is deity. He is deity, but he is also man. Now remember what I just said. Jesus is not the Father, but he is deity, but he is also man. So he's the God-man. That's very important to know because the United Pentecostals, also called the Apostolics or the Jesus-only people, they actually believe Jesus is the person of the Father. That confuses the issue incredibly. The enemy of our soul, the devil, has done a very good job confusing the biblical message and biblical terms.
Evangelical Outreach proclaims and defends the Christian gospel. Please come to our website at evangelicaloutreach.org for much more Bible-based information. You may call us at 724-632-3210 or write us at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Spread the word. Let's return to Brother Dan.
Again, many people believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but have it all confused and distorted. The real Jesus of the Bible, the real Christ, the real Son of the living God, should be worshipped. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said to Satan, who was tempting him, He said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The same exact Greek word found in Matthew 4:10 for worship for the Lord God that is to be given to the Lord God is also given to Jesus in Hebrews 1:6. And that verse says, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" So notice that. What belongs to God is also given to Jesus according to Matthew 4:10 and Hebrews 1:6. But that's not all. In Matthew 14:33, we find out the apostles worship Jesus. It says, "Then those who were in the boat," that is the apostles, "worship him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" And note, Jesus received their worship. He did not correct them. He did not rebuke them for error. He received their worship, and they said, "Truly you are the Son of God," and that was connected with their worship of him. So if a person truly understands Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, the unique one-of-a-kind Son of God, they will worship him. That's a true understanding of the term. In Matthew 28:16 and 17, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him." That's the apostles worshiped him. And again, the real Jesus is worship, and he received the worship from his own apostles. So if your understanding of Jesus is something contrary to him deserving your worship, there's something terribly wrong. This is a very serious indictment against the Jehovah's Witnesses, who zealously canvass our areas all around the world. They spread their message, and they deny that Jesus should be worshipped. They think he's Michael the Archangel, the first and greatest creation of Jehovah God. An angel should not be worshipped, but Jesus was. So what they do in their translation, the New World Translation, they change the word for worship. But we'll get into that better at another time. But suffice it to say, the real Jesus of the Bible was worship. If your religious organization, denomination, or personal beliefs in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, doesn't allow you to worship him, you're in a different light than the apostles were in first century Christianity. And that's not good. So, dear listener, are you worshiping Jesus the same way as you worship the Heavenly Father? You should be, according to the Word of God. That's the real Jesus of the Bible. Here's another one, a very important one that a lot of people stumble over, and that is that Jesus is to be prayed to. Now, of course, Jesus also taught that we are to pray to the Father. No question, nobody's arguing about that. But in John 14:14, Jesus also taught that we can pray to him. And that's exactly what we see that Stephen did as Stephen was dying. It says, "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" That's Acts 7:59. Listen very carefully. This issue of praying to Jesus is one of the basic characteristics of the first century Christians, believe it or not. And I can prove that to you from Acts chapter 9, verse 14. There was an issue going on, and Saul of Tarsus, that's the Apostle Paul before he got converted on the road to Damascus, was actually traveling to Damascus to arrest the Christians in this city of Damascus when he was struck down. The Lord Jesus spoke to a disciple from that town named Ananias and wanted him to go and lay hands on the Apostle Paul, who would be the Apostle Paul, for him to receive his eyesight back because he was blinded. Now here we go. Here's the passage. "And he," Saul, "has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." So who did Saul go there to arrest? Clearly, he went there to arrest all Christians in the town of Damascus. And all of them were calling on his name, and that's a synonym for saying they were praying to Jesus as Jesus taught in John 14:14. And again, believe it or not, Jesus is worshipped in this manner because prayer is a form of worship reflecting deity. Furthermore, in John 14:1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Consequently, from what Jesus taught, Jesus is to be trusted in the same way we are to trust in God. That is idolatry unless Jesus is God by nature. And again, he's not the person of the Father, but he is deity. And we are to trust in him. We can pray to him and worship the real Jesus of the Bible according to the scriptures. But that's not all. In John chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus said this, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. This is a blow to the Jehovah's Witnesses and everyone else out there that claim to be following Jesus, but they're not really honoring Jesus the way he should be, biblically, because to revere Jesus in the same exact way that you would revere the Father would be idolatry unless Jesus is of the same nature as the Father. That is exactly what the Bible says. All of these little truths here and there that I'm speaking out today to you reveal what it means that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that we can believe on, the one that we can trust in and follow for our salvation. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So I like to ask the Jehovah's Witnesses and other people that deny the deity of Christ, who has all authority in heaven? Is it the Father or is it the Son? And they'll say, well, it's the Father. I'll say, well, here, read the verse again, Matthew 28, 18. It clearly says, Jesus is the one who has all authority in heaven. Now tell me, folks, who should be worshipped if not the one that has all authority in heaven? The answer is obvious. Furthermore, Jesus can forgive sins. It would be blasphemy for Jesus to claim to forgive sins if he could not forgive sins and if he didn't have that authority. But that you may know that the Son of God has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Luke chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus forgave his sins. Jesus has that authority. He is to be honored as the Father, trusted in as the Father. We can pray to Jesus. We are to worship Jesus. People might be stumbling then. Well, if Jesus is really God by nature, how could he die? That's the man Jesus that died. God can't die, but the man Jesus did die. And we know that he's both God and man because of all these scriptures, the same exact way that Jesus could also be the good shepherd and the Lamb of God. It sounds almost like a contradiction for him to be the good shepherd and the Lamb of God at the same time, but it's true. Furthermore, Jesus is also the high priest and the sin sacrifice. And Jesus is deity and man, sinless man. Let me regress. Some of the false views of Jesus is that he's a good teacher. Jesus actually said something along those lines. He said, "Do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father and he is in heaven, nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ." So in a spiritual sense, we are not to call anyone Father, such as a Catholic priest. Neither are we to acknowledge any supreme teacher other than the Christ himself. That's how we should view that title, that Jesus is the Christ. He's the one chief teacher. Remember, John 6:68, Jesus has the words of eternal life. So he's not just a good teacher, he is the teacher. In Islam and other places, they wrongly proclaim Jesus as a prophet. He's just a mere prophet. One prophet of many prophets. There are many prophets around. He was a great prophet, all this and that. They misunderstand and distort the true image of Jesus the Savior, because Jesus the Savior is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's the judge of the living and the dead. And as the Apostle Thomas called him, the Lord of me, the God of me, the Muslims would never do that, even though they say that he's a prophet of God. Again, showing there are serious problems. Other ones say that Jesus is a holy man. Well, that's certainly true, but much more than that. In Acts 3:14, the Bible says, "You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you." So not only is Jesus a holy man, he's the holy and righteous one. So you can see, in every one of these cases, Jesus is lower than what the Bible actually says that he is. Other ones say that Jesus is an enlightened man. The truth is that Jesus is much more than that. In fact, Jesus is actually the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. So Jesus is not merely an enlightened man. He is the light. He is the teacher. He is the sinless one, the holy one, the righteous one. He is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. The Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons, shockingly, unbelievably, they teach another Jesus also. They actually teach that Jesus was married and that he's the spirit brother of Lucifer. Hard to believe. The real Jesus was never married. The real Jesus was God from eternity past who became man at the incarnation. And the creator is not the spirit brother of his creation. Jesus created Lucifer. He's not his brother. More lunacy comes out when you examine what the Unification Church teaches. They say that Jesus failed because he didn't produce a perfect family. A lot of these different groups that I'm mentioning, again, I want to magnify that they teach that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they throw these other views in that distort the real Jesus, making him into one that we could never focus our trust in and hope to have salvation in. They reduce him to such a low degree, one is not believing on that Jesus for their soul salvation. They're believing perhaps in that form of a Jesus plus their denomination, or taking an accurate knowledge as the Jehovah's Witnesses think they're doing, but they're not doing, or the Catholics who also add in Mary and the sacraments. And the list goes on and on with the Seventh-day Adventists and Saturday Sabbath keeping. So we have some real serious problems. Jesus is not Michael the Archangel. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that, but the Seventh-day Adventists also believe that. Imagine that. They actually teach that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And in Colossians 1:16, which I referred to earlier, it says, by him, that's Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That means all of the angels were created by Jesus, including Michael the Archangel. The real Jesus of the Bible not only is not Michael the Archangel, he created Michael the Archangel, and Michael the Archangel actually worships Jesus based on Hebrews 1:6. So prevalent and dangerous views of Jesus have stumbled and misled multitudes of people. These false views are called in 2 Corinthians 11:4, another Jesus. And because people are believing in another Jesus, their souls are adversely affected. The real Jesus is eternal life. We are to be devoted to the Jesus of the Bible to the point of death for the sake of our soul, which means that we can pray to him and certainly worship him. He's due that. He is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and the gate to heaven. He's the only begotten Son of God who was raised bodily from the grave. He is our righteousness and life. He bought the church with his own blood. He has the words of eternal life, and his words point us to himself. He could not save us and do all these functions that he does, as shown by his many names and titles, unless he was and is deity by nature. So Jesus is God by nature, that is deity, not a created angel, a mere prophet, a holy man, an enlightened being. He is the light of the world. If you escape eternal damnation and enter God's paradise kingdom, it will be because you have a submissive faith in that Jesus who has set you free from your sin addictions by his holy blood. At the point of repentance, that is, at the point of turning away from your idols to serve the true and the living God. That is your only hope. He is the real and one and only Jesus of the Bible. And is he the one that is the object of your faith to the saving of your soul? That's a very important question. Is he?
Jesus of Nazareth is eternal life. You can't have eternal life without having him. If you disown him, he'll disown you. If you endure, you'll also reign with him. Contact us for much more about this and many other subjects at evangelicaloutreach.org.